says.
I think parents are not involved in what their primary worries about their kids' health is. Even the intake of junk, you know, has gone up very substantially. And that is also leading to weight concerns very early in childhood. It's very difficult to be a doctor to any family member. I think, yeah, counseling is very, very important in pediatrics, especially when you have new parents coming in the first year of life. So I don't think you should expect a child never fall sick. That's not what childhood is about. They need to have the ability to make that choice. They don't like that you are controlling all their choices. I think it's more important to criticize the behavior rather than the person.
Welcome to Tiffin Break by Little Joyce. Today, we have a guest that a lot of you had asked for. We've got parents, we've got children, we've got parents with their children, we've got single moms, we've got single dads. But a lot of you said, hey, we need to hear from an expert as well. So today, we have got a very, very famous pediatrician with us today. Please welcome Dr. Samantha, an MD in pediatrics, who's been practicing for more than 15 years in Mumbai.
Thank you, Raven. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for actually making it this far and giving us the time. I'm pretty sure having like a lot of our common, a lot of my friends actually come to you and they keep saying that how difficult it is to get an appointment. So for you to make the time to come here itself is a privilege for us. But how did you actually get into this field itself?
So I think I always wanted to be a doctor. Not specifically a pediatrician, but I always knew growing up that I wanted to be in medicine and I wanted to be a doctor. It was my dream since I can ever remember. And fortunately for me, I was good in biology, was able to get the required marks or the score. And though against my parents' wishes, I would say my mom was very insistent that I not take up this field.
Why?
I think, you know, a lot of doctors feel this. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of struggle in the initial years. So probably she spoke to family, friends who were physicians. And, you know, every doctor has their own tough story and tough life that we went through. And as a parent, you feel, oh, I don't want my kids to do that. So she was trying to convince me otherwise. But I was very determined because I didn't see myself as anything else. And then I chose to do pediatrics because at that time I really developed interest during my MBBS. I was sure I didn't want to do a surgical branch, and which is why pediatrics came forward. I am practicing now in Andheri, in Marol to be specific. I have my own clinic. It's called Giggles Child Health Clinic. And previously I was also working at Surya Hospital. Now I'm attached to Seven Hills Hospital, which is in Marol, and I do my outpatient practice at my own clinic.
Amazing. Was marrying a pediatrician or in the medical profession also a thing that you had? Or you developed over time? Or was it just by chance?
No. That was totally by chance. Absolutely. I don't think that was pre-planned or anything. No, not at all.
But how did that happen? Just to...
So me and my husband, we met during our residency. I was his junior, so to speak. He's 1 year ahead of me in the residency program. And we did our residency at Nair Hospital. And he was the registrar. I was the houseman, which is how you have this hierarchy in the whole residency program. And that's where we met. And we worked together in the initial few years. And I think, you know, it just... happened
things
this time.
Happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. So, you know, we've had so many requests coming in about, you know, generally questions, parents with anxiety about different things. And then once we told a few of our audience that, you know, we're going to have a medical expert coming in, we got questions from them as well.
Oh,
but before I go there, I would actually love to understand from you, what is like three most common questions that you get from your patients?
Three most common questions.
Yes.
Top most would be ki iska weight barabar hai kya?
Okay.
And I think then it all follows from that ki
height wouldn't be next.
Height, no. Nobody is worried very much about height. Weight is very important.
Okay.
Second is ki vegetable nahi khata hai, to isko multivitamin dena hai, ki kaun sa tablet dena hai, ki kaun sa syrup dena hai.
Okay. But they ask specifically for that.
For multivitamins, yes, very much.
But all, it's not like ki they will just say that vegetables nahi kha rahe, ab hum kya kare, and then you will have to tell them that maybe you need to take.
No, not even multivitamin. They will say tonic chahiye. Tonic chahiye, sabzi nahi khata hai, tonic chahiye. This is again.
It's asked for. I thought it was always that, you know, doctors were infamous for the fact that you would say, hey, nahi, doctor to bolte hai, ye le lo, wo le lo, but
no,
aap
no,
natural
lo
karke.
It's not, because as a professional, I feel that having a balanced meal, there is no equivalent to that.
Correct.
Right? But no, it's, you know, from a parent's perspective, it's different. You feel that, my child needs something extra. Yes.
Correct.
Yes. Correct.
Got it.
And I think the third question would be, ki ye baar baar bimar kyun pad rahe hai? Doctors ki immunity, kya problem hai? Immunity kam hai mere bachche ki. Kyun kam hai?
So these are the three most common things.
Yes, most common.
And you think 20 years back it was different?
I don't think so at all.
It's the same question.
I think parents have not evolved in what their primary worries about their kids' health is, you know. And we are always most concerned about the physical aspect of a child's health. And this is what parents see day in and day out. If the child is unwell, getting cough, cold, this is the most common thing that all parents face. This is their trouble. Still, serious diseases are very rare.
Correct.
These are the common things, and so these are the common questions.
Got it. And do you think something would have changed in the last 20 years? Because I thought, if I go back to how nutrition and supplementation evolved, a lot of it seemed to be for, like, I see even today, the brands of yesteryear talk about height growth. So that's what I thought, height growth was important. But do you think, like, I have actually spoken to a few people who have said that as the nutritional intake is improving in India, like, we are a poor country.
Correct.
So as the nutritional intake is improving, we are actually turning out, like, each generation is turning out to be a little taller than the previous one.
Yes,
is definitely. Is there scientific data too?
Definitely there is. Nutritionally, protein intake, I would say, has gone up substantially from one generation to the other. And that is affecting height development. It is affecting even metabolism in the children. But other than that, even the intake of junk, you know, has gone up very substantially. And that is also leading to weight concerns very early in childhood, which we probably wouldn't see, say, 15, 20 years back.
Got it. You
know? So, height-wise, you know, most children are doing better than probably where we were maybe two generations back, definitely. But parents do understand that, you know, height will come up later. So, you know, everyone
they've seen different folks having a different
height in childhood. Yes, right.
Spurt of growth movement could be at 10, could be at 12, could be at 15.
Correct, exactly. So they don't mind waiting for that, which is fair enough. I think that's great, because everyone attains puberty in different age groups. So they will ultimately attain their height. But you're right in what you're saying, that nutrition is improving and height growth is something that is changing over a period of time.
And, you know, to take on your point about junk food, we never used to see obesity as a problem for kids, let's say 20, 30, 50 years back. But now that's sort of just creeping up a little
bit. Yeah, creeping up and becoming very soon maybe predominant, I would say.
May become one of the top three questions actually for you.
It's possible. But, you know, but parents are still in denial about it, about obesity, even if their kids are overweight with slightly high BMI. If I bring it up, you know, at a consultation, they would be surprised. So a lot of times I bring out the growth charts to, you know, because a visual impression is so much more than just words. So only when I plot it on the charts and show them that, see, this is where your child should be and this is where he or she is right now, is when they grasp the situation, because otherwise they feel nahi bachcha weak hai mera weak. So it is difficult to impress this, but obesity is coming to the forefront now. We are seeing lifestyle disorders even in early adolescence. So it's not something that we should ignore as a community anymore.
And is it just junk food or is it sugar? Like, would you...
I think it's multiple things. There's more of packaged food. There's more of frozen food. There's more of, you know, these juices. Even health drinks, which are promoted as health drinks, but they do have a lot of sugar. And along with that, there is more of a sedentary lifestyle. Less of outdoor play, more of TV, video games. Both the things
so
in combination.
Combined, yes. Sort of leads to that particular... Got it. And... You know, you are also a parent yourself. You have two lovely daughters. Do you, like, you know, you see this, it's almost like gada hai aapke paas logon ke dukhdo ka, right? And then you would have to take that and then you're obviously advising them that this is the right thing to do. And you come home and then you have two lovely daughters and there's you and your husband who's also a medical professional who's also in the similar space. How do you... Like, I always wonder, you know, I look at my professional work, I look at my personal life, and it's easy to create boundaries in some way, right? Because here I'm trying to act in a certain way, trying to build a business, and at home I can maybe act differently. But aapke liye to kafi mix ho jata hoga na, in that sense.
Well, I think over time you do learn to keep your professional and private life, personal space separate. But in a way, you are right, because we are dealing with so much illness and sometimes, you know, sadness. It's difficult to just all leave it when you are home. So some of the baggage does come along. But I think it's important to, you know, not give it away, at least in front of the kids. Like, you know, so even if some patient or some child's illness is really bothering me, and I'm waiting to maybe discuss the medical aspect with my husband once I reach home, I will try to wait until my kids are in bed, because they do get scared when they're still young and, you know, they're impressionable minds and you don't want them to hear about something and then, you know, get scared. And especially after the whole pandemic with COVID, with all the uncertainty that was there around that time. And you could see how much it affected young kids, you know, their social anxiety had increased, spiked. The world changed for them, to be honest, at that time. So it's important. I think we've also realized that some things we should just not discuss when the kids are around and maybe just talk about it later. So we are trying. But it's hard work, because you're right. It does come home. It does happen that we are having a discussion and the children might overhear some of it.
So one aspect is the separation. The other thing that while you were talking, I just realized is you would also want to almost, like, because your husband's also from the same field, do you ever end up in a situation where, let's say, your elder daughter is unwell and there's obviously that rush to diagnose as to why that would be? Who does the diagnosis, you or your husband?
Oh, oh yeah. So there are many fights when it comes to treating the kids. But I think mostly it falls on me, and I'm usually the decision taker when it comes to the kids' illness at home. But yes, if I'm in a spot, I will ask him and, you know, check with him to see if he has his own perspective. The reason being that he actually works in the pediatric ICU and he's usually seeing much sicker kids, whereas I deal with general pediatrics and I see more of regular illnesses. So if my kids are not very seriously unwell, obviously I don't need his opinion. He's not the expert in that matter, because it's my forte, so I'm going to deal with it. But yes, we do have a difference of opinions many, many times about what to do when it comes to...
Because this, I just keep wondering, right? Like, let's take a set of parents and unki upbringing, you know, mata pita ke upbringing ke difference mein, how they want to parent is also a little different.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
Now, I am imagining your upbringing, his upbringing, and then both the fact that both of you are medical experts, and it's like the number of permutations, combinations on what are the possible things to do is just a lot, and that just leads to a lot more chaos, at least in my mind. I don't know how you...
I think we've learned to navigate that now. Usually, I think even professionally, it could be because we've trained in the same hospital. Our professional thinking is also quite alike. So maybe that is working in our favor. So usually we have the same point of view at least 90% of the time. So it's easier because of that, because we've worked together and we've done a residency together. So we do know how each one thinks and each one's approach is towards a particular disease or illness. So I think that works best for us.
Got it. And is there a, like, I keep thinking two different areas. And for example, we have a very close friend who is a psychiatrist. And there was a time when we needed some help. And she said, I'll refer you to someone else because I'm too close to you.
Right.
Because I'll get emotionally involved. Right. Does that happen to you as well? Like for diagnosing or looking at your own children, because you're emotional as their mother.
Correct.
Do
correct.
You feel that you will not be that objective in how you think about
it? It's possible. And it does happen. So to give you an example, you know, my child was... when she was very young, my older child, she was having a persistent earache. And I checked and, you know, I kept thinking that, you know, there's an infection plus, minus, I'm not sure. Should I start antibiotics? So, you know, me and my husband were struggling to take that decision. And then I realized that, you know, I'm not the right person to judge. Because, first of all, I'm unsure. And second of all, she's my daughter. So, I don't want to over-treat the symptoms.
And she's in pain and you're hurting because
correct,
you're seeing her in pain.
Correct. So I did take her to my senior and who examined her and treated her. And then I said, let me get out of it. I don't want to be the doctor in this situation. Let me just be the mother and follow the doctor's instructions now because it's been going on too long. So yes, when it gets difficult, it's better to get a perspective from someone outside. It's very difficult to be a doctor to any family member. Not just for me to my kids, but whatever your specialty may be, it's very difficult to combine both the things, you know, because as a parent, you always have something, some opinion, and it will always conflict at some point with your professional opinion. So it's easiest to separate
the two. Yeah, got it. So one thing that we do or we used to do with our pediatrician when our son was younger was I sometimes, you know, keep wondering when I used to go there, I had two questions and my wife would have like listic, matlab, you know, lambi lambi. And this is not to judge her, I'm just saying that.
Right.
I started observing that it was more anxiety than actual functional questions. Like, for example, there would be functional thing as, is he underweight? Is he the right height?
Correct.
Why is his skin like this? Is this a permanent thing, temporary thing? Baal thode kam hai, zyada hai. Those were all functional aspects. The other is, khata nahi hai, theek se sota nahi hai, hot hyperactive hai. Going a little bit more around our anxieties because you think this is not necessarily normal because this is not what you see other kids doing.
Correct.
To an extent that, sunta nahi hai. Like, you know, there's a layer at which being a, the advice has to move from medical to more like therapy. Like, do you experience this?
Yes, of course. I think a large part of pediatrics is also counseling. So I totally get what you're saying. When I just completed my residency and my pediatrics and I was assisting a very senior pediatrician who I look up to as a mentor now. So I used to see exactly this, you know, and especially with new parents, you know, with small babies, and they would have so many questions, long lists, and about very trivial stuff, at least in my opinion at that time. And sir would patiently answer all their questions with a smile on his face. And I would, you know, I would think that, you know, why are they wasting his time? Baby's absolutely fine. So they should just let the next patient come in now. And I asked him about it. Of course, I was just fresh out of PMD at that time. And he said that, you know, Samantha, you can never really truly be a pediatrician until you've been a parent yourself. And I didn't know what he meant because I wasn't a parent then. And, you know, I almost felt insulted. Like, why is he saying this? I'm a pediatrician.
Itna MBBS kiya, MD kiya, aur abhi bhi tum bol raha hai, won't be a good
pediatrician. Exactly. And I was, you know, I was annoyed. And I said, you know, okay, this is old generational thinking. I don't know. You know, of course, you know, I know everything.
I have read these books.
I have read these books. I have put so many sleepless nights into this. But now, when I'm a mother myself, I know exactly what he meant at that time. Because he means that you can't empathize with the parent till you've been a parent yourself, because there are so many doubts in your mind, and the child may be completely well. But like you said, these kind of questions about the child's sleeping pattern, the child's farting, the child's behavior, poop colors, so many questions which are about a normal child, but to the parent it is very important, you know, and you can't negate it. So a lot of times, you know, I do first complete my physical examination, but then a lot of time is spent discussing about these aspects, and I think more or less making the parents feel confident that they have the ability, because they are always so lost, especially in the early few months, and you know, just giving them the confidence that what they're doing is right. And in fact, there's no right or wrong at that stage, you know, like it's all gray. And you make your own mistakes. I'm sure we've all made mistakes at some point in time, and we've learned from them, which is fine, which is what you have to do. So I think, yeah, counseling is very, very important in pediatrics, especially when you have new parents coming in your first year of life.
And I'm assuming this is not covered in the academy.
In none of the textbooks.
Maybe there's there's no session on counseling.
No, because pediatrics is dealing with primarily kids who are sick. And these kids who are coming in, the parents who are, you know, having these questions about their newborn children or about the sleeping habits, these children aren't really unwell. You know, they may be different. It may be a variation of normal. But I know that from my experience now as a pediatrician. But to a mother this is the first child, or to a dad who is having sleepless nights because of their first baby, they don't know this is right or wrong or this is normal. Who talks about it? You know, before having a baby, who talks about what it is to bring up the child in those first 3 to 6 months, about how tough it's going to be? So they probably are just fumbling, and they don't know how much of this is normal. So they're obviously looking to you for guidance. And maybe it is there in the textbooks, but you know, that part never comes in the exam. So.
You never studied for it.
So only when you've been a parent and you've seen that with your child and have had all those anxiety driving questions yourself, and then spoken to 1,000 people at that time, probably that's when you realize that this is the answer.
So the 3 to 6 months, I can understand that anxiety to all of a sudden, because mostly we would not even get sleep, or you know, har 2 ghante feeding. So I think maa ke liye to alag hi level pe anxiety hoti hai. Anyway, you're not slept most of the time, right? But as a pediatrician, you'll also meet a lot of parents to 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds.
Right.
Would the counseling need to continue then, or does that reduce?
No, we do see, because after the terrible twos, all the behavioral issues, the temper tantrums, they all show up at that age. And then as the child starts school or play school, again, there is a lot of, issues where the child is for the first time being separated from home, or is having problems with the peers in the school, relations with the teacher. There's so many things that I think for a child, every step they will have some emotional issues that they are facing at that stage, and they may show the symptoms at home. You know, they will have some behavioral issues. Every stage that is new to a child is going to reflect in their behavior at home. And the home is a safe space, so they're going to let their guard down at home. They're going to, you know, act up, or so to speak.
Tell me this. I asked you the most common questions asked by parents. Most annoying questions, if I can call it that, asked by parents.
Oh, God. Annoying questions. I don't think that now I...
Like generally in the pediatrician community, you would say that, yaar, ye question kyun aata hai karke? Okay, let's not use the word annoying. Something that just is, you find it surprising, interesting.
I think it's not annoying, but you know, a lot of parents feel that their child should never fall sick.
Hmm.
You know, every time the child falls sick, and they be like, "Arey doctor, 2 mahine pehle hi to hum aaye the. Isko 2 mahine mein dobara bukhar ho gaya." Like, you know, 2 months is a long time. Your child is going to school, going to so many activities, so busy in their world, and children have sometimes, you know, You can't keep watching them all the time, and they're outdoors so much. They're playing in the mud.
क्या खा रहे हैं? Exactly. I thought he's eating his dabba, then I realized exchange कर रहा है करके वो.
Exactly. Who is monitoring your child?
Impossible.
It's not that it's. So you know, you can't. Your child is not living in a bubble. You have to let your child go there, explore everything. And so what if they fall sick a couple of times? It's not, as long as it's not some serious illness, it's totally fine. So I don't think that you should expect your child never falls sick. That's not what childhood is about.
Got it. Interesting. And because you now also obviously get parents and children, let's say post the age of 2-3, when they start expressing themselves. So I always say this, that before the age of 2, the child has no way to give you feedback except for crying.
Correct.
But after the age of 2-3, they walk, they run, they talk. And after 4-5, though, they obviously express. Now with screen time, their knowledge and their expressiveness is increasing, if I can say so. If I see last 20 years, every child I see surprises me that as to how clear they are, how much clarity they have in telling what they want, right? Three most interesting answers you have got from children when they are visited with their parents.
Three most interesting answers.
Or three most surprising things that you've heard from children.
Oh, no, that one is quite tough.
You would remember something. This.
I think mostly when I'm talking to the kids, they're telling me about their school.
Okay.
So the most fun stories.
Yeah, let's hear about most fun stories.
You know, how the mischief that they are up to. I really enjoy listening to this, you know, that something about, you know, how they have been troubling the class or troubling the teacher. And I really enjoy, and even the parents will look like, oh my God, I was not aware that this is happening. And it's so fun to hear the kids, you know, especially like you said, this age group of 3 to 5 to 6, who, you know, they don't have... that sense of, oh, I should not be talking this in front of an adult. And they're so lively, and it's so fun interacting with them, because they will tell you the most amazing stories and fantastic stories which they'll make up in their head. And it's really fun to, you know, listen to all these
small matters. For them, it's a sense of achievement. Yes. They have even troubled the class.
Absolutely.
Teacher ne mujhe bula ke side mein khada kiya, to bhi matlab achievement.
To bhi bahut badi baat hai. Yes. Absolutely. And they get such joy, you know, that before the break only I finished my tiffin.
I had a meltdown from my son one day on a Sunday morning because he wanted something, and he was like, I will not have this for breakfast. Like, every Sunday I only want this, and every Saturday I only want this. I said, why don't we sit down? Aur agar tu itna clear hai tere ko ki Saturday aur Sunday breakfast mein kya chahiye, to roz hi bol de, hai na? So then I, like, he was just, मैं खाऊंगा ही नहीं, खाऊंगा ही नहीं. एंड माई वाइफ वॉज लाइक, नहीं बेचारे खा ले, सब यही खा रहे हैं करके. लाइक, रुक जा रुक जा, लेट्स फिगर इट आउट. एंड ही देन मेड अ लिस्ट, बिकॉज ही वाज लाइक, हाँ, बिकॉज आई वांट टू कंट्रोल एवरीथिंग, ही रोट डाउन. सो आई सेड, सो ही हैज टू ब्रेक्स, दोनों ब्रेक, तो यू लेट्स टेक अ 2 week मेन्यू. सो 5 days स्कूल, 10 days इंटू 2, 20. आई नीड 20 डिशेज रिटन डाउन, एंड इट हैज टू बी डिफरेंट, यू कांट से द सेम थिंग. So obviously there was yellow dal, black dal, onion dal, this dal, so 6 dal hi thi. But you know, even the sabjis were like, you know, alu, whatever he could remember, he could just write down. But at least usme shant ho gaya wo. And then I ordered, I said, chhod mat bana, I'll order it. But at least wo likh ke ho gaya, now we follow that.
But that's so great, yeah, that now he has taken it upon himself to plan out.
So now next time he doesn't remember it, but jab wo next time tantrum throw karta hai, pick up the list and say, dekho list ke hisab se tumne likh ke diya hai.
Which is a smart thing to do. But see, you put the choice in the child's hand.
Actually, usko wahi chahiye. He always, I realize, just is a very independent thinker who
it's
wants.
Exactly what children want. They need to have the ability to make that choice. They don't like that you are controlling all their choices. So the minute you give them the options, you give them the choice, they are happy about it.
Actually, that's where I realized it, because he kept, every time he threw a tantrum around food, he kept saying, why do I have to have what you want to have? So when you start thinking about it, basically his problem is not with the food. His problem is with the fact that, ki yaar, aapko pasand hai, isliye aapne banaya. Aur aap mujhe bolte ho, try kar, aur aise hi khilate rehte ho, but mujhe nahi chahiye. Right. Try sab kar lete hai. Aaj subah bhi hua hai. In fact, because today was a Saturday and this was poha day. So as per him, Saturday is poha and Sunday is idli sambar. Like, that doesn't break.
Okay.
Monday to Friday, there are these options. Out of 20, whatever you feel you can make. So we had to break it for some reason. There was upma and we said, please dekh le. So thoda hua and I said, why don't you try it? And if you don't like it, we'll make the ye. So I just assured him, we'll make it. I would have ordered it, but luckily he liked it. So I'm like, chal ab kha le karke type se. And we'll make it up to you. We'll figure out, etc., etc. But yeah, it ends up being a discussion versus just, and it's time consuming. I don't think it's hard. I'm just realizing it's very time consuming. That's the aspect that we all miss. That compared to maybe 20 years back, we just have a lot more distractions. Yes, we have busier work lives, but we also have distractions.
Correct.
Which is our outlet from the heavy, busy work that we do.
But see, we would not argue with our kids, with our parents. We would not argue with our parents 20 years back.
I asked them. They say you used to argue.
Really?
Haan, mala mujhe bhi yaad nahi hai.
I don't think that I would have a say in planning the menu in this fashion. The way you have, you know, given your child that opportunity. I don't think probably
which is
the same scene.
Which is fair, but it stemmed from a tantrum. And when I said ki aisa mein they said, tu bahut tantrum thoda tha, hum sunte nahi the.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They wouldn't pay heed to it.
I have gone hungry.
Right.
I have gone hungry. They said ki nahi khana hai mat ka. I have actually been... So I still remember this one thing when I was, I think, in third standard. So that's... I was 9 years old, similar to where my son is today. And I really was annoyed with my dad. And I was really that annoyed because mom made something that I didn't want to have. And I was crying and sobbing and they were just furious for whatever reason. And I rushed out of the house and I said, I'm not coming back. And they knew I'll not go anywhere. I was just outside. There was a veranda, so I was just chilling there. And nobody came after me. So I got more peeved. And then I went and from the window, I was shouting and saying that, aap ye nahi karte, wo nahi karte. They were just ignoring. Okay. Audience, hopefully, if you don't judge, they are great parents. I just remember this, right? And I asked them, ki dekho ye, and they say, haan, bhi theek hai na, but nahi kar sakte hum. And after that, there's a limit, right, for every parent.
Correct.
So that limited, and then I obviously, after 1 hour, I think they opened the door, I just came inside, I just went off to sleep. I said, chalo, theek hai. Matlab, dekh lenge karke, whatever happens. But I agree, it's a hard thing for most parents to bear.
Right.
And when I question them now, they are like, nahi, aisa kuch nahi hua tha.
See, but it affected you so much at that time, they wouldn't think that much about it also. Correct.
Which is why I worry about how we, like, I used to lose my temper a lot with my son. After that visit to the psychiatrist, when she showed me the mirror and said, ki, ye tumhare wajah se hai karke, at least one thing I stopped losing my, I mean, I still lose it once in a while, but the frequency has come down a lot now. So yeah, the mirrors are being shown a little earlier, I guess.
Yes, but I think it comes with practice alone. It's not possible.
It's
And I mean, we've all had our struggles. I lose my temper probably every single day with my kids. And it's like you said, it's also your inherent personality. Like my husband is totally the opposite. He's always this calm person who can just... He can stay calm no matter what the situation is. And I'm just... hyper
or hard to believe with your body language. I can't see you hitting.
No. This is totally not how I am at home. So it's different, you know. It's different how you as a person are, and then to change yourself in your interactions with a child, and to come down to their level and to know that, okay, this is the right thing to say in this situation. But now I feel that the best thing to say is nothing at all. Because when a child is in that mood, in that anger, in that frustration, honestly, they are not listening to anything you are saying. They can't understand anything you are saying. And maybe discuss it later when the mood has changed and the topic has changed. So I've struggled a lot with my younger one. And, you know, I've asked her when she was in a good mood that, you know, when you are angry, how can I help you? And she didn't know what I meant also at that time. So I said, would you feel better if I hug you? So she said, yes. But sometimes she doesn't even want that physical connection because she's so angry and she probably wants to hit me. So I wait. And now I have realized that at some point, she herself now says that, Mama, can you hug me? during the tantrum. And I know that now, okay, now she's ready for that connection. So now she will calm down if I hug her. So I have also learned it the hard way. I think that for the longest time, I didn't know what to do. But now we have both reached a place where we're able to communicate at least to some level and come out of that situation much sooner than what you were doing, say, a year or 2 years back.
And you didn't have this with your elder one?
No, surprisingly not. See, every child is different. Every child is different.
You would have, pehle aapko khud hi soch rahe ho ki yaar maine hi kuch galat kiya hai, pehli wali to theek nikli.
Correct.
Second wali kyun ho raha
hai? Personality is so different of both the kids. And, you know, like, I think the emotional level.
Yeah.
And probably also with age, the maturity changes. But I didn't face this so much with my older child for some reason. I don't know.
It may also have to do with the fact that the younger one always feels that there is someone else as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. So younger one always feels that they are in competition mode for the parents' attention.
Correct.
You know, whereas the older one has had that, you know, without another child.
Ulta bhi hota na bahut baar. The older one feels that after the younger one has come in,
that's also true.
She is not getting the attention that she used to get before. Because there was always that one attention.
Right. I agree.
The older one didn't feel that?
I don't think so, because we tried very hard to make her not feel it when I had my second child. So I remember taking gifts with me in the hospital bag that I had packed for my older daughter. So when she came to the hospital to see the baby for the first time, I removed the gifts and she was only three. And I said, see, baby has come with gifts for you. So I just had it in my mind that the first impression should be good.
Good.
So she should feel happy when she sees the baby. Ki are baby to gift hi leke aaya hai mere liye. Isse achhi baat kya ho sakti
hai.
So I don't know what it was that did it, but
it was very thoughtful, actually. Very, very thoughtful. Like, when I think about it, it's the first impression is that, because yeah, you don't know what to
you
think.
Don't know. I didn't know how she would deal with seeing the child and seeing me with the child. I was so worried. But I think she dealt with it quite well. I think they have an amazing relationship now at this stage that they actually, you know, bond very well.
And the age gap is pretty...
Yeah, they're 3 years apart. And I mean, they're not, I wouldn't say they're friends, but they can't do without each other. So anything that happens if the other one is not there, you know, if the first thing when the sibling comes, they will go and tell them that, you know, this happened, that happened. And they want to share everything with their sibling, which I feel is great.
Yesterday, I was with a school friend and we were just reminiscing about school. And I said, school mein, you never used to talk to me, etc., etc. And she said, do you know that my parents used to not like me interacting with anybody in school except for four girls that they had approved of, that you can only spend time with them. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, yes, I would not even be allowed to go to anybody else's house. I would get invited for, you know, let's play together, etc. Except for these four girls. And I said, but what was the basis? Did you ask them? And they never said that. They just said, ki aap kahin aur allowed hi nahi ho karke. Now, I don't know if she was trying to be nice to me because she ignored me in school.
But I think that is very harsh.
I think this is not that uncommon.
Maybe not uncommon, but I think from a child's perspective, you know, also in a minute you said you're not allowed to, all the more you want to do that thing. Mm. Now, maybe your child, your friend was probably the disciplined child and not...
See, our age folks were generally used to listen. We had no option. No? There was no phone. There was no screen.
Correct.
There was no other option. But to agar ghar mein rehna hai, to yehi khana hai, yehi karna hai.
But nowadays, children will rebel if you kind of put these kind of restrictions also. The minute you tell them no, they're not going to listen to you. There's definitely going to be a why not? Why can this be done? Why can't? And you better have an explanation if you are saying no. A valid explanation that makes sense to your child, not just makes sense in your head. You know, because, and it would be wrong to tell a child not to interact only with a certain group and not with others. What is wrong with those other children? Why are you making your child believe?
What if there was a situation created where you would put up a story and say that you cannot do this because this child XYZ?
Like, I just, while you were talking about it, I remember that when I was a early teenager, this happened to me as well, where someone, that person was my best friend. We used to hang out like every day in, day out together. And then suddenly he stopped hanging out because his mom said that you cannot hang out with this person. And obviously the reason given was that I'm a bad influence on him, right? Now, I may have been, I don't know, right? But the fact is that you can always label someone, no? And that label will stick with you. In fact, that label is something that will spread
correct.
Also. Imagine,
it will.
Imagine tomorrow, let's say for some reason, a boy is bullying your elder daughter and you're like, okay, you cannot take this bullying. You extract yourself from the situation, right? But it comes to a point where someone gets to know that this boy did, you know, bully your daughter. That label will stick with that person.
Correct.
So right. It's very hard to not... And I don't think these situations are also necessarily in the control of these 5-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-old.
Exactly.
Children, right?
Exactly. It's not in their control.
Today, like a very recent example where my son got into a fight with a guy who was a boy only, who was 4 years older to him. And same thing, like my wife wanted to go and speak to the parent. I said, he has to learn how to handle the situations. Right? You should not get into a fight with a boy who's 4 years older than you. That's an option. Right?
Right.
You can always run away.
Correct.
Don't engage only.
Don't engage.
Right? But he has to learn that. So now, but in his mind, I think that we didn't go to an extent of saying that boy is not good, he did this thing to you. Because I told her as well that if you're doing that, then you're labeling that other boy as...
Exactly.
As, you know, the person who's at fault and our son as the victim.
Right.
And sometimes it's vice versa. Sometimes my son is at fault and somebody else is the victim. But I think these labels may sort of end up being carried more for a longer time than necessary for some things which are very innocuous and people forget over time.
I think it's more important to criticize the behavior rather than the person. So, if you are able to explain to your child that such and such a thing with probably your friend did and the actual aspect of it which was wrong, and not say that the friend is bad or the friend is lazy or the friend is a bad influence, but this part, see, everyone has a good side and a bad side. So, if you are able to explain that this part of what that child is doing is wrong and you should not tolerate it or you should not engage with it when it starts. Not to say that that person is bad, so just stop hanging out or stop talking to the person, but just point out that quality of the person which is wrong. There may be many good qualities also.
Which may be not even
which
know.
We don't know. Correct? So rather than labeling the person, it's important to pick out the quality or the behavior which you are not happy about and make your child reflect upon that.
You know, like we spoke about the fact that our parents were academics, you know, do well, etc. While we are aspiring to give a more well-rounded development to our children, wo hope to rehta na ki shayad mera bachcha koi cheez mein special hoga karke.
Of course, we right? all feel.
How do we discover that? If we don't push them and say, ki yaar aur thoda better karo, you know, ye class bhi chale jao, wo bhi kar lo. And if they are not, you know, in the end, I think we take failure personally.
Very much.
We take failure personally.
Very much.
Personally as parents, ki mujh mein kuch khami reh gayi. Maine sahi nutrition nahi diya. Maine sahi exposure nahi diya. And I think that's the anxiety that is reflected when they come and meet you or when they are talking to relatives or when I am talking to my friend and just cribbing, right? But wo kaise solve kare? Matlab, it's just human behavior.
See, if you are... As a parent, if you feel that you have given your child the opportunities, okay, you have enabled the child to follow their dreams, you have provided the environment, then I think as a parent, you have done your job, okay? You may want your child to do X, Y, Z, but your child may not even want to. He may want to also, he may not want to, he may want to become something, he may not want to put that effort in the process. But there are things which are beyond your control. See, everything is not in our control. And giving up that control is very difficult. Realizing
actually, yeah, that's the biggest thing,
we
yeah.
don't have this control on our child is very difficult. We feel ki hamara bachcha hai, to what we want has to, this child has to get molded into this personality, this shape, this profession that we have chosen or we have dreamt for our kids. But it is not like that. Your child is not going to become or is not supposed to become your avatar or whatever you want.
I think even if we don't aspire a particular outcome in some way or form, because you're in the discovery phase, I'll tell you how I think at least, right? And how we think as parents. Kuch to ek cheez achhi karni chahiye. Kuch to ek cheez. Ab
right.
kya ek cheez hai na, wo pata nahi hai hume. Right? So, as you said, for us, it was, ACAD was the only option.
Correct.
Now, unfortunately, because there are 10 options between ACAD, cricket, drama, dancing, singing, music, or something it is, hume pata nahi kya hai wo. So, I think what, it's actually a worse thing for us, if you think about as parents, because now we have to put in an extra effort to first expose,
figure out,
you know, him to
what
everything.
What he may be good at.
And then, shayad, and then after three or four things, the pressure bad jata hai. Yaar, ye teen cheez to cross ho gayi list se. Ab bachi se us saath. Toh achha chauthi. And then the, I think the anxiety keeps building up. And for all you know, we may all end up in the same situation ki bhai padhai theek se kar le, baki to kuch na ho paaye.
Correct, correct. Right? I agree totally.
But that process just increases
long.
The anxiety.
I agree.
Ki hum har cheez, because I think that builds. Ki
yes, yes. And scheduling these multiple classes and events, it's not easy at all. Because, you know, you're sending your child here, a class cancel ho gayi, you reschedule the whole day. I think my child's social calendar is much, much busier than mine. I have to manage their classes, their school, their friends ke saath, play dates and other birthday events or whatever events are planned. Matlab, hamara to piche hi reh jata hai. Hamara koi family function hai, to pehle pura unka week dekho. Phir hamara planning uske baad hoga. Ki which day baba kids ka kuch nahi hai, us din parents will plan something. So we are more involved and, you know, we are... You're right. You know, why are we doing all this? Because we want our child to excel at something. So we are keeping their lives so busy. Ki idhar bhi bhejna hai, wo bhi karna hai, ye bhi export bhi hona chahiye.
In that hope that we will discover that each cheez, I think it goes back to that, right? If you had one thing only which was ACADS, then you would just crack the whip and say, kuch bhi hai, yehi karna hai.
Correct.
Now in this discovery phase, well, like, oh no, the child will figure out. But I think they're just having fun or they're not. And hamari aasha hoti hai ki yaar ye pakka chess acha khelega, nahi to acha pakka cricket acha khelega, cricket bhi nahi pakka football karega, and ye to de yaar. Then I think the pressure just keeps, and that's how we sort of, it's self inflicted. But
it is very self inflicted. And but I think it's important that for us to now, you know, you have to detach yourself, that what your child does is not a reflection on you. Tomorrow, you should feel that I have provided as a parent, that much is your job. You have fulfilled your responsibility. But what they make of their own life tomorrow, it is on them. It is not on you as a parent. You cannot have that guilt that if tomorrow my child did not do well, it's because of me.
Anyway, I think we have had a lot of discussions on the mental health side of thing for parents as well as for children. The last segment is largely about nutrition. We touched upon it a little in the beginning where you try and make sure that there's not enough junk food. But if you go back to your childhood, I mean, you would have loved whatever little junk food that you got your hands on. So what was your favorite junk food when?
Oh, growing up, I not just childhood, I think I still love a pack of potato wafers. It's my total craving. At any point of time, you give me potato chips and I can have like this whole packet. I love it. I think it's the salt hit, you know. I totally love it. So wafers is my thing, this chips.
And what was your favorite tiffin when you went to school? Like, what would you look forward to? Ki aaj finally, this is something, mama has given me something that I love.
So I think for me, my favorite would be pav bhaji, because it was very rare in our household. It was hardly made. And I would see that, you know, I used to go to school in Parla. And we had a lot of these Gujarati business families. And, you know, Gujarati food smells so good. So, you know, all my friends, when they would get these different types of chaats and sandwiches, you know, different types. So, different kholte jo khushbu. It's literally mouth-watering. And I would mostly have very normal, you know, this chapati with bhaji or some rice item. And I don't think we used to even cook pav bhaji back then. But I used to love seeing it in, you know, in their tiffins and, you know, get that whiff, the smell and then the taste.
Would you not share numbers?
We would. So, and of course, we would eat. And, you know, I used to go home and tell. And I think my mom learned to make it only after that. Because before that, we used to never make, you know, pav bhaji was ki kabhi hotel mein gai to wahan pe.
Correct. That was the standard item that you would have when you went to the hotel.
But we would not eat, make it at home. But because I used to love it so much, she started making it and she got really good at it. And so then even my pav bhaji used to taste as good as...
So people would come and say, hey, doctor, has got pav bhaji, let's have.
So I think that is one thing that, you know, I love. And it was very rare. So, you know, that's why I was very fond memory of taking the pav bhaji.
So we have... we don't have your mom's recipe. But we have tried to, at least in every segment, we try and get our guests to reminisce.
Oh, how lovely.
Little, about their favorite tiffins when they were children. And also, hopefully, give them a taste of the same. Do you still make pav bhaji at home?
Oh, yes. So now it's a weekly feature in my house. Because I love it so much and now my kids also.
Oh, you still...
Yes, absolutely. It's so now it's the recipe has come down from me to my house help. Everyone makes it, and at least once in 2 weeks we have pav bhaji for dinner.
You'll have to just have it like this, like your tiffin. Yeah, so you have to forget your cutlery and fork.
No, how can you have cutlery?
So when the correct pav bhaji has to be had like this,
but you're not going to share some.
I will. Why don't you first?
Do
both your daughters love it?
Yeah.
I think one of the final pieces that we wanted to also cover in the nutrition space is, I think initially you spoke about parental anxiety around physical and mental development or immunity, and the fact that they would ask about, you know, what additional stuff we could do, right? Beyond, like, it's very hard to get the fully balanced diet in today's day and age.
Right.
And children's likes, dislikes have also sort of gotten to a stage where processed food usually wins. So one is adding good things. The other is removing bad things. And I think removing bad things is easy except for sugar. Yeah. Like, because once they get used to sweet things, it's very, very difficult. Hard to take
very
that
difficult.
Away. But any practical tips that you've managed to see parents successfully implement?
So I think one thing is, which I ask, you know, most of the parents is that you eat as a family. You know, don't keep mealtime separate for the child and separate for the adults. Because when a child sees, like you said, you know, even if they're seeing other people eating, so they are more likely to taste and try out new food. So similarly, when they see the parents or the other adults enjoying particular types of foods, they're more likely to at least try it or take it in. And the second thing is that give them the choice. Take their opinions when you plan a menu. So when many parents, when they ask, come and tell me that they don't eat vegetables. So I ask the child, so tell me, and the child is like, no, I eat in front of me. And you know, there's this constant, doctor, abhi ye bol rahi hai, ghar ja ke kuch nahi khayegi, kuch nahi khayegi. So I'll tell the child that you tell me 5 vegetables, which you will eat willingly. So they will name something, so they will say only. So in front of me, so they have to. So I've said, okay, so we will plan the menu around this. So if you ask the child, like you said that you did with your son, you know, and you ask the child to plan out the menu or take their opinion, and then you cook, at least keeping that in mind, then the child feels ki, now I can't say no because this is what I wanted in the first place and this has come, right? So I think that also makes some sort of impression on the child that what I have said is being heard and is being implemented, and so now I also have to eat this. So I think this also works, you know, when you try it out on a more regular basis, it does inculcate a sense in the child that, okay, now if I have said, then I must also keep my part of the bargain.
Amazing. On that practical note, really appreciate you spending the time, Dr. Samantha. We've got a lot of practical thoughts, and I think hopefully lesser number of parents will come and ask you the same questions again after they have heard this. But really, thank you and appreciate the time being spent, and I'm sure the audience enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was great being here and I truly enjoyed the conversation.
Okay. Hi there. If you enjoyed watching the show, then please do subscribe to Tiffin Break on YouTube and Instagram to watch more such content. And if you want to be notified of the next episode, please do press the bell icon on the screen.